Yeah, I got a question here, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, what's going on, huh?
I want to know, what do you think is going to happen with this Omicron variant? Do you think we're going to see more lockdowns? What are the precautions we're going to be taking? What are the regulations that are going to come out of your leadership here?
Well, there's not, maybe you don't have to be consigned. Maybe you do have to be consigned. I don't know exactly. But what I do know is that whatever I say goes, and you have to do exactly what I tell you to do.
I feel like I really didn't get an answer there. Are we going to see more lockdowns as this variant starts to spread throughout the population?
You know, we might see lockdowns. We might see lockdowns. You know, I don't know. We might see mask mandates. We might see mask mandates. I don't know all these things. But what I do know is that I love making money from big... I want to keep America safe. That's what I'm here to do. I'm going to do my best to do that.
Okay, thank you, sir. We will try to keep you guys informed as this situation develops, but as you can see, we're not getting very many answers from leadership. Anything else to say, Dr. Fauci, before we let you go tonight?
Stay safe out there, because it's been proven that crawling on the floor like a slug will make you not susceptible to COVID, and because I'm Dr. Fauci, you have to believe me.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks. Start crawling on the floor like a slug, and that will protect you from the new variant of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Fauci.
10 boosters. We're not stopping at 9. 10.
And scene, guys, welcome to Will and Amala Live. We are going to touch on Fauci's recent appearance on the news to talk about what's going to happen with this new variant of COVID-19 that is making its rounds on the population here. He had some interesting things to say. We're also going to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse and the call for him to be expelled from Arizona State University, as well as the new CEO of Twitter. We have Dear Will and Amala, where you guys submitted some advice questions, and we have a story about communism and Wikipedia, two things that we don't often think go together, but today they do. And for our opening story, we have a special guest on the show today. His name is Richard Lim. You might recognize him because he's our resident fact checker. Richard, hi.
Hello. I'll try not to mention the WNBA again. That was just...
Why?
That was just that
no,
was...
I liked it when you did that.
Did you get in some hot water last time? Or
no, I didn't, but I was very proud because all my friends know that one of the biggest things that I, like, one of the biggest causes I have is to show the world that the WNBA is horrible.
Right.
And I was so proud when I sent that, because everyone treats it with kid gloves, right? All the comedians, they make fun of everyone. They make fun of rednecks, but you can't make fun of the WNBA, even though they totally rely on the men's league. And that's the only reason they survive, right? But anyways, with
sorry,
all that
ladies.
Said. Yes.
I am perfectly fine that you say things about the WNBA.
I'm just, it's
should
just
have a whole
true.
Segment on the show about it, to
well,
be honest.
The great comedian Norm Macdonald said the best way to improve the WNBA is to replace all the female players with men.
So. Oh, rest in peace. Yeah,
I know.
What a funny guy.
I know.
Man. Well, maybe we'll have to bring you on another time to talk solely about the WNBA and the abolition of the WNBA. But today we brought you on for what I think is an even more interesting story. There is a page on Wikipedia, and the page is titled Mass Killings Under Communist Regimes. But recently, this page has been under threat of deletion from Wikipedia, because Wikipedia states three things here. One, the neutrality of this article is disputed. The neutrality of mass killings under communism is disputed. Two, the articles or sections possibly contains synthesis or material which does not verifiably mention or relate to the main topic. And three, the verifiability of the claims made in this article is disputed. Now, Richard, can you tell us about how communism doesn't lead to mass killings? Do you have any information around that?
It always works. Like, literally, wherever you try it, the workers' paradise just ensues. You know?
Yeah. So I've heard.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's stunning, because if anyone studies communism for what it really is, it would be treated the way they treat Nazism. It would be treated as another utopian project that promises something better, but actually creates a worse hell than the hell that it's trying to remedy. And it's really awful, because it preys on the weak. You know, there's a reason why it rose in a place like Tsarist Russia, where there was no hope for any future. And so here are these poor peasants who are being told everything is going to be changed for the better. That jerk landlord that is owning your land, is, you know, you're going to get revenge on him. And it ends up being, you know, President Harry Truman, a Democrat, gave in his inaugural address a great speech where he said communism is a big lie. Imagine when Democrats used to say that kind of stuff.
Right.
JFK would say the same thing. And so basically this was the view, and it's caused so much misery. And yet people don't treat it the way they do Nazism. And there's an agenda there, because they have this sympathy with its utopian kind of leanings. Oh, guys, one more tax hike will end poverty.
Right.
You know, it's really the same premise as communism. Just give us all control of your life, of everything, you know, and we'll finally get to paradise. It's going to happen this one time. And the great C.S. Lewis, the great theologian, I think spoke very wisely on this issue. And he said, of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep, his cupidity may at some point be satiated, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. And he hit the nail on the head. It's people that think that they're doing good, and they won't stop until they've eliminated everything in their way.
Well, that's the thing about communism that I think is important that you brought up, and in terms of preying on the weak, is that communism in its essence is an envious mentality. Mm-hmm. And not envy in a way like, oh, I want to work hard to beat this guy, or, you know, to be better at my job, mm-hmm. or with a family, whatever it is, not in a good type of
in
jealousy.
A healthy competitive way.
Yeah, competitive, right. Jealousy, or, you know, but this is like an envious thing that says, because someone else has something that I don't have, I should have that thing. I should deserve that. And what it does is essentially it takes the responsibility away from people themselves and then places it onto somebody else. And so I find that when there's all these different things that come out, like when you're looking at the SJW movement now, when you're looking at the climate change movement, all these things, like, you don't want to say these things are directly communist in essence, but you do want to say, like, there are the similarities where it's people trying to skirt responsibility off of themselves for the bad decisions that they make and put it on some institution or larger problem so that this type of agenda can come to fruition in America. That's what it really feels like.
Well, yes. And you know, one of the horrible things about it is that people, they always want to escape responsibility. Communism, it's never worked when it's tried. It's always created more wealth inequality than anything you see in capitalist countries. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that people like to say, like a guy like Stalin, when he implemented his policies, a lot of people were like, when he started, you know, doing what he did, a lot of people were saying, wow, this is amazing. He's changing the world.
Yeah.
And the New York Times said that. Walter Duranty said that. And he covered up a lot of what Stalin did. And then when Stalin started killing people, they started saying, oh, he's not true. He's not a true communist. But here's the thing. We know from Stalin's speeches, from the testimony of his associates, that he saw everything with a Marxist worldview. Mm-hmm. His biggest mistake was not preparing for Hitler to invade Russia. And the reason he didn't prepare for that was because under Marxist theory, capitalist countries fight each other first before mm-hmm. they fight others, right? And so that's, he literally didn't prepare his country for Hitler, which was a huge tactical error. The reason was because he was a communist. He was a true communist. He wasn't just a realist, you know? So that's the reason. So they like to get out of jail free,
yep.
from Stalin, but in reality, he was their personification.
But they did the same thing in Venezuela too. I mean, when Venezuela was first, you know, Hugo Chavez was first coming to power, it was like all these people in the left-wing Western media were like, oh, we love this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the New York Times was talking about it. Actors like Sean Penn and all these people are coming out praising Venezuela for these new socialist policies. And then after a couple of years, I mean, now they're silent. You know, they don't say anything about Venezuela. They don't say that it's bad. They don't say that, oh, I was wrong. I should have admitted that this actually isn't right. They're waiting for the next country to take up some socialist or communist regime that they can then praise until it inevitably falls on its head.
Yeah, you know, one of the best books about communism that anyone could read is called The Court of the Red Tsar by Simon. His last name is hard to pronounce, but I think it's Montefiore. And he talks about what it's like to live under communism, under Lenin or under Stalin. And he talks about Stalin was really, I mean, it's almost like when we talk about communism, it's so easy to talk about it in the abstract and just say it's bad theoretically, but we forget just how, I mean, it's so evil and dehumanizing, and at best it's stagnant, right? At best it's a country that's not keeping up with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Like when Brezhnev was in charge, right? It wasn't as bad as Stalin, but it wasn't great. You had one brand in the grocery store. Yeah. Of bread, right? That's the best it gets. And a lot of Russians look back at that and they say, gosh, you know, that time where, you know, we weren't doing that great, but we weren't getting killed like in Stalin. That's the best you can have in that kind of system. And we forget that, you know, those are human beings. Those are people whose parents, you know, literally every family had an expunger. When somebody was purged, mm-hmm. you needed somebody to actually go through all of the photos of the family and tear out the person who got wiped out. You needed someone to falsify the records. And kids would be told, oh, Uncle Dmitry is gone. But don't ever ask about it. Mm. And they would just be used to this. They would just say, oh yeah, Uncle Dmitry vanished. He may have been killed. He may have been sent to the gulags, but this is the result of what we do when we whitewash what communism is. We basically tell all the memory of these victims, oh, you know, you didn't exist,
right?
You know, and that's okay because this is necessary on the way to communism, but it's morally reprehensible.
It is. And now Wikipedia is saying, well, there's no way to make the distinction that communism is truly what caused these mass killings. How can we say that communism is what created the famines? What is your response to that?
I say, well, there's a reason why every single communist that has taken power, just like Mao said, has taken power because of the power of the gun, right? Mm-hmm. It's pure coercion every single time. So if you're going to say that, you might as well say that about anyone that believes something, yeah. right? Oh, well, Hitler wasn't really a Nazi, mm-hmm. you know? All he did was just, you know, he wanted to create a better world. Mm-hmm. So Nazism isn't that bad, right? So why is that argument okay for Stalin but not for Hitler? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really the same thing. They're all utopian. They all think they deserve better than this world. And they all create a worse world as a result of it. So
when you read about communism and all the different times it's been tried, I mean, specifically Russia, China, Cambodia, all these different places, what you find beforehand, like again in Russia, I mean, they were not doing well economically before, you know, mm-hmm. Lenin took over and everything. Like they mm-hmm. were, the Tsar was a bad military leader and it was just pretty disorganized and things mm-hmm. weren't going great.
They're medieval basically.
Right, right. Yeah. And a lot of places when they adapt some radical ideology like communism, it's because before they were in a place of, you know, not doing so well, not mm-hmm. doing so hot. When you, this to me feels like why so many people in America are attracted to something like communism. Because they feel like the system isn't working for them in a way. What do you see about like the future of America when it comes to, you know, an ideology like communism taking over or some, like I see like the new leaders that are going to be coming out of this, whether it's like a right-wing leader or a left-wing leader who's very radical because of just how crazy it's gotten. Mm-hmm. How do you see the future with that in America, with the place that we are in now?
Well, I mean, there's an optimistic view and there's a less optimistic view, right? Mm-hmm. I think that one of the biggest reasons I think communism is so seductive is because it preys upon our desire for perfection. You know, we want to fill our lives with something, you know, with a meaning or with a belief that we're going to, I guess if you look at theologically, it's the idea that, you know, we live in a fallen world, but we want to get back into that world, back in Eden when things were great, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea of communism is that the state or this ideology or Marx or something will get us there and it'll take care of all of our problems, right? And so what that does is that when people believe that, you know, they have this messianic view of things that, oh, we can do this, we can save ourselves, we can, you know, if we follow the right leader, we'll save all our, you know, all our problems. But what that does, it'll never do that, and it breeds cynicism. That's why you see so many people cynical about where the country is, right? Mm-hmm. And faith in politics, faith in government is so low is because people put hope in it. It disappoints them. People put hope in Barack Obama. Guess what? He didn't change the way we run our politics like he said he would, right? So my hope, my optimism is that enough people get disillusioned by this and they see that it's a false bill of goods. and they'll say, wait a minute, the government isn't the answer for everything. That's the optimistic view that I have. But I mean, we have a lot of work to do, because fighting, you know, people being enticed by that is such a hard thing to do.
And it's hard to fight when you can't even give them the information that shows the exact opposite of that. And that's really the heart of the problem here with Wikipedia, a site that is vastly used for people to find accurate information, is now going to be censoring stuff and creating this sort of utopic view of what communism is.
Yeah, it's right out of the communist playbook. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when Mao took over in China, one of the first things he did was he changed the language. It's right out of the book 1984. Yep. You know, there's traditional Chinese Mandarin. There's simplified, the mm-hmm. communist version. And it's the way things are happening today, where you can't say communism is bad. Mm-hmm. You can't tell the truth, essentially. And so, but as they like to say, the more you shine light on the truth, you know, one of the things I love to show my friends is PBS, believe it or not, they did a great documentary series on communist China, and it's called A Century of Revolution. It's about China in the 20th century, and they did an episode on Mao, and all you have to do is show people what it is, because mm-hmm. they show millions of people brainwashed. They show like 30 million people died of a man-made famine mm-hmm. in the 50s and 60s, like when our grandparents were alive, right. or parents, mm-hmm. like... That's out there, you know, and then they show the cultural revolution where kids are turning in their parents. And I mean, just all sorts. It's just pure insanity. I mean, a girl I know, her mom and dad during the cultural revolution, they didn't have school for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They sent them to the countryside to learn how to be a true proletariat, you know, and a true revolutionary. And so that's all out there, you know, shining the light on that, it'll open eyes, but it's so hard to do that when that's what they're doing. So
that is so similar to schools now. I mean, you're not tanking them and saying, oh, 10 years of no school, you're going out into the countryside, but you're basically sending them to the government institution and saying, here's how you become a revolutionary. Here's how you become an activist.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the exact same way, except they're not going and, you know, dying of famine.
Yeah.
Luckily, but
yeah,
the psychological brainwashing. It's like more of a positive reinforcement than a negative reinforcement that was used in communism.
Yep. Right. Which is why we need to try communism here.
Right.
Finally, someone
said that.
One
more time, guys.
I know.
One more time.
We're just one tax hike away from eliminating inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
You know, so just get it over with. Give it all to the government. But that's literally what they advocate for. Right. So.
I'm very scared of a radical left-wing leader and even a radical right-wing leader in response to that person mm-hmm. to be rising in this country very soon. Like, people thought that, like, Trump and everything like that was crazy and bad. Like, just wait until you have someone who's, like, super anti-communism, anti-the media, when that person on the left-wing side starts to take power in this country.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to me like things are going to get uglier in a way like that. Because, I mean, especially when you're seeing in this country right now, I mean, the middle class is dying. Mm-hmm. So many people are becoming more poor. The inflation is bad. The rich get richer. I mean, like, it is what communists would revolt for, mm-hmm. you know, in many ways of what is happening in this country. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about it. I'm genuinely worried about it. I mean, just looking through a historical lens, it seems like that's...
Well, I think there is reason to be optimistic in this sense. I think that communism often rises from... complacency mm-hmm. And republics often sow the seeds of their own demise, because people get so used to wealth, America's being the wealthiest country in the world, and then they turn to these things because they want to feel part of a cause. But I also think that communism or any kind of leftism breeds cynicism, and it breeds disillusionment, because it can never deliver on its promises. And so, you know, the hope is that we catch people who are disillusioned. So
the issue is they want to try it before they get disillusioned.
Exactly,
you have to feel the weight of it before you get disillusioned with
what
you believe in. And that's the difficult part.
And we have to talk, and we have to show people these documentaries that show all these horrible things that happened and say, this is a warning for today.
Yeah. Well, Richard, thank you for coming on and shining a light on this subject matter. Where can people support you? I know you have a podcast.
Sure,
tell everybody.
Yeah. This American President, just check it out. You know, we have our website, thisamericanpresident.com, and you can listen to it anywhere that you listen to your podcasts.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, Richard.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Tell your mom, you know, Want her autograph.
You can tell her right now.
Great. Hi, Mom.
Richard's a fan of you. You're a fan of Richard. So
it's
good.
We're going to exchange autographs between Will's mom and Richard.
Good,
it's
going
to be great.
Good.
It's going to be great.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks again. Now we're going to get into the story that led to our cold open today, and that is Dr. Fauci on ABC talking about what the response is going to be to this new COVID variant. Let's hear it.
Do we expect to be seeing more lockdowns again, new lockdowns, more mandates?
You know, I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst.
Do we expect to
be... Aww. Love that little soundbite. Prepare for the worst.
Prepare for the worst. You know, it's
I'm not bad. I'm not going to prepare for the worst. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there right now. I will continue to lead my normal life.
I am too. A little update. I haven't been to a restaurant or a bar, anything like that, in 3 weeks since these mandates went into place. I haven't been anywhere. So I've been going to, I go to the farmer's market. I get my food. I cook it for the week. I come to work and then I go home.
You haven't yet. You've yet to find a restaurant that doesn't ask you?
No, I'm like not even, I don't even want to try.
Yeah.
I like I mean, don't even want to go out there and try to go out and see what it's like for a mandate. I know that when someone asks me for my vax card.
You're going to flip out?
I'm going to flip out on them. I'm going to say you tyrannical nutcase. Like I will get very upset.
Wow.
So I can't even put myself in that situation.
You don't want to see Will upset.
You wouldn't like me when I'm mildly upset at the guy at Chipotle.
Me and my roommate have been developing like a little green book of places in LA that you can go and people don't ask.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, there are places that won't ask.
There are. That is the silver lining is that there are places, but the fact that we even have to worry about it is just ridiculous.
I know. It is so bad. And the fact that he's saying that we might have more lockdowns, more masks. I mean, like, oh my goodness. The lockdowns did not work. Okay. Lockdowns do not work unless
they
you have a very small population that can be quarantined because it is only in this place, like on an island or something like that. Then you can do a lockdown has been shown to potentially work. But when you have a large population where people are moving in and out all the time and it's not sanctified in one little spot, a lockdown has been proven time and time again that it doesn't work. It does not stop the rate of infection. A mask mandate time and time again has shown that it does not stop infections. All of these things do not stop infections. New York has 8 times the amount of cases, daily cases, than Florida. Florida is free and open with no lockdowns. New York City has mask mandates and jab mandates for going into businesses.
Yeah. The fact that anybody still trusts a word that comes out of this man's mouth is just ridiculous. Nothing that you've tried has worked. Not a single thing that you've done has quelled what has happened. And yet we're still looking to this man and putting him on mainstream media and saying, well, what are we going to do with this next variant? What are we going to do with this next variant? What are we going to do with this next one? There will always be another one. There's always going to be a new one. And if we're still going to go through the same cycle of hysteria every time a new variant gets announced, I'm over it.
I know.
I'm over it.
And I will tell people, the people you're hearing, like this guy in South Africa, this doctor right now, where this Omicron variant apparently came from. And he's saying, the doctor is coming on saying, hey, this thing is pretty mild, okay? It's pretty mild right now from the people that he has seen in South Africa who have contracted this variant, okay? But be careful. Be careful by using this argument. I've seen a lot of conservatives, at least going out on Twitter, social media, and saying, well, the doctor said it's mild. The doctor said it's mild. Okay, if you're believing this doctor when he says that it's mild, that means that when Dr. Fauci or someone else comes out and says, well, now it's not mild, now it's crazy, that means, okay, well, then it is okay for mandates. It is okay for them to come and screw us over with all this stuff. So, you know, just like saying like, oh, we will only do this if it's mild. We will only not have mandates if it's mild. It's like, let's think about it a little bit farther ahead and say, how about we just don't do it regardless?
Yep.
Because none of this stuff works. None of it works. The NIH's own website has studies on masks and shows on its own website, the National Institute of Health on its own website shows that masks that are not N95s do not stop any sort of viral infection. It is on their website. You can go and look at it. You know, and these are the same people who are enforcing these diktats of hey, you need to wear a mask everywhere and 6 feet apart, which there's also studies on that show that is useless. I mean, all of this is genuinely useless.
It is genuinely useless. And still, you have to go into grocery stores and shopping centers and wherever you go with your little cloth mask on that you can blow through and literally put out a candle. But it apparently stops COVID-19. It is just brilliant. And here's an update from Canada. Here's a commercial out of Quebec for what's going to be happening with your 5 to 11-year-olds when it comes to this vaccine. Gosh.
Title, vaccination to 5 to 11-year-olds has begun.
Yeah, watch out, like, COVID-19.
That looked like a movie trailer for like this summer's blockbuster.
Because they got to make it fun in order to convince you that this is okay.
COVID-19, this time it's personal.
Gosh.
That's what it feels like.
Oh.
If you would just, you know what works? Cheap medications. Cheap medications work, okay? I can't say the names on here because we're going to get banned. But you know what I'm talking about.
You know
what
also works? The immune systems of 5 to 11-year-olds.
Yes, that works.
Those also work.
Yes.
So it's just insane to me to even see this.
I tweeted about this the other day about what's happening in Peru. People are all freaking out because Peru now has the highest death count of COVID cases in the world. Okay? The most amount of deaths. When Peru, this pandemic first started, what did Peru do? Peru said, we are going to give everyone this medication, which... you know what it is? It starts with an I. And we are going to give them this medication. And what they saw is that their deaths dropped 14-fold. Okay? 14-fold. Their deaths went down because the people started taking this. And then the WHO came in and said, hey, that's actually for horses.
Not
and you
allowed.
We don't want you giving that to people anymore. And then the president, basically feeling the pressure from the WHO, said, okay, we won't do it anymore. And guess what happened? Their deaths rose by 13 times. Okay? I mean, it is basic science. It is basic science of correlation of how these things are happening. You know, and every time one of these new variants comes out, they can just use it as a means to inoculate you with a new jab and new mandates and all of this. Do not believe any of it. Don't do anything that these people want you to do, especially now because the OSHA rules, and it came out a couple of hours ago that there were federal court, or the Fifth Circuit Court, I believe, just ruled that the OSHA rules for over 100 employees mandating vaccinations in 10 states is no longer happening. It's unconstitutional, right, which is awesome. So if you're in Missouri, Iowa, New Hampshire, some other states, those rules do not apply to you, which is incredible. And we need more states to step up and do the same thing.
Yep.
I'm kind of just rambling on a lot of things right now, but I'm getting it all off to you. This is what I'm telling you. This stuff is the truth. Okay. This is what is real. Everything that Dr. Fauci says is a lie. Dr. Fauci said, he wants to do double randomized trials for all these different medications, these easy medications that have been proven to work. And even when he got those, he said, this isn't enough. It's like, it's just such baloney. It's literally just baloney all over the place.
Literal baloney.
And by baloney, I mean BS, okay?
Yes.
Because it is actually killing people. What he is doing is legitimately, Amala's getting scared of me.
I'm getting
what
your
is,
eyes.
I mean, seriously.
The pause before
I don't want PragerU channel to get shut down by the things I'm trying to not say but you understand
people,
what I'm saying?
Yes, people understand what you're saying. People understand what you're saying. They know how we feel about this. And don't forget, it's like we kind of gloss over the big wins here. That OSHA, those 10 states, that's a huge win. And so many people have seen the policy come out of this administration saying, with the over 100 employees, you have to do it. And they just bowed down and said, okay, well, I guess I don't want to lose my job. I'm going to do it. There is a fight. And sometimes we win those fights, and we have been. And to forget that is really a travesty. It's a disservice. You need to continue. Do not comply. Do not go along with this and continue the fight, because we can win.
And you know what's happening? The American Medical Association, which should be disbanded because it's absolutely useless. The AMA has put out their winter newsletter for 2021, two doctors, two nurses, and it's basically come and said, you can lie and deceive your patients. You can tell them about the COVID vaccine and tell them that they need it and all this and not have to mention the health effects of it. That is what they're saying. The AMA is basically telling doctors and nurses to lie to their patients. I mean, and they are supporting getting doctors who are saying that there are alternative treatments. The AMA is coming out and trying to get these people publicly fired mm-hmm. for being these types of doctors. I mean, this is what happens when you comply. This is what happens. This is
and it's the not, frustration.
It's not how we feel about it. I mean, this is just the truth.
Yeah.
This isn't how we feel about it. Yep. This isn't how Amala and I feel. This is the truth that we are trying to dispel to you.
It is the truth.
Oh, man.
Yeah. At the very heart of it, what is being done right now is not working. And that is not an opinion. It's not an opinion on the left. It's not an opinion on the right. It is simply the fact of the matter. It is the truth. It is not working. And if you are dedicated to a line of policy and legislation and mandates and regulations that are not working, then you are not dedicated to the wellness of your people and you're not dedicated to the truth. So where is your moral compass lying on this? Because it's not working.
The point is, it's not supposed to work. All of this stuff is not supposed to work. If it worked, then this pandemic would be over, and then these people wouldn't be making money and achieving more power over us. If all of this stuff worked, then we'd be out of this. We wouldn't have to do any of this anymore. But it keeps going, and we keep having to go through this garbage and this crap every single day because this stuff doesn't work. And they know that it doesn't work, because then a new variant comes or a new outbreak or whatever, and people will just say, "Oh yeah, it's fine. We just need one more, right? One more shot, one more lockdown, one more mask mandate, and then we're just going to be in the clear." Oh, until the next variant comes, and then you can give the vaccine to 5 to 11 year olds, and now they're going to give it to toddlers, Fauci is saying, or like babies.
The stuff really rattles my cage.
The stuff with COVID is my like. I mean, that is what I dedicate almost all my time to researching now.
Yep.
Because it genuinely is the greatest lie in American history.
Yeah.
I mean, when Dennis Prager said it and then got in trouble last year when he said that the lockdowns are like the greatest mistake in American history. I mean, I truly, there's no hyperbole there. I mean, these things are legit. This is legit of what is happening in this country. It is so bad mm-hmm. with the lies and the deception and how people are bending over backwards for it.
I mean, yeah, our country and every country in the world is forever changed because of this. Forever changed because of the absolutely absurdly poor response to this. And we all know that they're making use of a crisis, and they will continue to. And every new variant is going to be a new crisis that they can make use of. And it won't be a use that leaves you any better off.
It's so bad.
Now we're gonna move on, because we could talk about that for the next 4 hours. But we're not going to do that today. We do have other stories to touch on. We're going to get to this story about Kyle Rittenhouse. You would think, you know, we would let this man live. We would let this young man go about his day, go about his life after this trial, after being found not guilty. But no, we can't do that, because there's so many extremists and activists who still label him to be a white supremacist murderer. Now, who are these people? Recently, we have multiple student groups out of Arizona State University calling for the expulsion of Kyle Rittenhouse. What do they claim him to be? A bloodthirsty murderer. So a group of students has come out after this trial has ended and essentially said, even though this trial is done and he's been found not guilty, I'll read the direct quote here, even with the not guilty verdict from a flawed justice system, Kyle Rittenhouse is still guilty to his victims and the families of those victims. Join us to demand from ASU that those demands be met to protect students from a violent, bloodthirsty murderer. Amazing. Amazing, the rhetoric.
He's on online classes.
He's on online classes.
He's not even on your campus.
I'm afraid he might shoot me through my Zoom.
None of them are afraid that he's going to shoot them. No, that is how ridiculous they are. They all know that he's not going to come to campus and shoot anyone. Are you joking? I mean, you have to have the IQ of dog food.
Yep.
To believe that is what is actually going to happen.
And it ties into what nobody wants to say. And what nobody wants to say is, I was wrong. There's three things nobody wants to say. I was wrong, I've changed my mind, and I don't know. And in this case, it's I was wrong. These students don't want to come out and say, hey, guess what? He went through a trial, albeit not a fair and just trial with how the media has treated him, but he went through a trial and he was found not guilty. Let me watch the trial. I bet none of these students even watched the trial to see what happened, see the facts around the case. I had a friend who called me the other day. He's like, I went out last night to a bar and I met these two lawyers, a lawyer and a paralegal. starts talking to these two lawyers about Kyle Rittenhouse, and both of them, oh, he's guilty, this, this, and that. He looks at these two lawyers, again, lawyer and a paralegal, did you watch the trial? And they both said, I don't need to. I already know. Sense. These are the people practicing law in this country.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it's a greater problem. It's not just, I mean, it's in the law there, but it's also in everything where people don't need to do their research.
It's a huge problem.
I mean, just look, we have a problem with headlines in this country already. I mean, headlines is how people get their news. You don't read the whole article. It's like I was just saying the other day, I mean, not to bring it back to the COVID stuff again, but when it came to that South African doctor, like, and he was talking about, oh, the symptoms are mild. The headline on that article that I read about him saying the symptoms are mild was, it's spreading really fast. Mm-hmm. That was the headline, that this new Omicron variant is spreading very fast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but if you read it and it says it's, we're mild, I mean, everyone should just get the Omicron variant so we can have stronger immunities. That's what I think. But it's a larger problem of people not having to do the research, because this is what I just wrote about in my Substack a little bit. If you guys can follow me on Substack, I just started one, thewillwit.substack.com. The link is down below. Substack is basically, it's going to be like my blog. It'll be like a daily blog that I'll be writing to you guys. And it comes directly to your email. I already sent out my first one today. What was I saying? I don't remember. What?
But you said you wanted everybody to get this thing.
Oh, right. Oh, because of the way that people work on social media, the way that things work on social media is people just want to put out sometimes very short sound bites or very small quips of something to say, hey, like, you know, I can talk about this, but I don't have to do research. You can just see what other people are saying.
Right.
And then stand on their shoulders and say something a little bit different. And that is news.
And it's across the board. It's crazy how much this is happening and how often this is happening. And everybody is susceptible to it. I saw, back to the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, a man put out a tweet saying, like, breaking news, Kyle Rittenhouse is suing Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg for $60 million or whatever. I'm sure you guys saw this tweet because it got a lot of traction. Not true at all. Not true at all. He has not filed a lawsuit against Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar, but everybody's talking about it. Everybody's pushing it. Everybody's saying, well, here comes the defamation lawsuits. It's not true. It's amazing to me. And
how
honestly,
did they make that story?
What?
How did they get that story?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I didn't know that it wasn't true.
Yeah, it's not true.
Until you're telling me right now, this is news.
Yeah, the spokesperson for Rittenhouse has come out and said this is not true at all. He has not filed a defamation lawsuit against Whoopi and Joy Behar. So it just shows, I don't know, like, there needs to be, I'm sure there's plenty of studies done on this, but just how receptive people are to just reading things and taking them as fact. Yeah. It's amazing.
No, I mean, you can just tell people things. I mean, when I was trying to tell you last week about pecan versus pecan, you almost believed me.
I did almost believe you.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but that's more of a, you know, how could I refute that? There's no facts to refute that other than the fact
no
that you say
to
that you say
refute
it.
What people on Twitter say either.
That's true, but know? It's just amazing that people can read a sentence and go, well, that sounds legit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just run with it.
I know. I've done it.
We've
sure.
all done
do it.
It
all the time.
We've all done it.
You know?
But now there's a group of people, these media conglomerates and these corporations, that are feeding on that weakness in the human condition and going, well, I can benefit from this. I can profit off of this. Let's do it. Let's make our headlines super salacious and let's put all the actual facts of the matter at the bottom of the article so that nobody knows what's going on and they're all fighting over it at the same time.
And they don't ever have to make any statements of retraction when they get something wrong. You'll see sometimes that people will say, you know, oh, we were wrong about this, but yeah. It's very rare, and also no one ever sees the retraction. They only see the first incredible headline that comes out, you know. And this right. is why people want it. This is why people say, oh, Kyle Rittenhouse is taking online classes at ASU. Mm-hmm. He needs to be booted out because of the stupidity of our media landscape.
And you know what? I don't think ASU is going to expel Kyle Rittenhouse. I hope they don't. It would be a stain on academia for them to do that. But guess what? I hope Kyle does file as many defamation lawsuits as he possibly can. And when he's a millionaire, possibly even billionaire in the future, he won't need to go to ASU because he'll have enough money to do whatever he wants with his life, as he should.
But the school can't expel him.
I mean, that would be another lawsuit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like that'd be discrimination. I mean, if it was what these girls are saying, or these people, I'm assuming they're girls who are saying they don't want Kyle.
You're assuming
at the
they're girls.
Yeah. Complaining.
There's nothing to confirm or deny that.
This is just my male intuition.
Okay.
This is what women would do. And they would, they're complaining about it. It would be like political. And that would, wouldn't that be like a thing where you can't expel someone based on their political views?
Yeah. Wouldn't you also think though that people can't call people a murderer after they've been found not guilty of murder and people still do it? So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the level of where you're at.
Right.
Because if you're someone in a large scale media position or a position of power and you defame someone or libel someone, or it's, you know, pretty malicious, then that could be libel. But sometimes people just don't know. And I get why people don't know. I understand, you know, when all you're seeing is this nonsense every day, I get why you don't know these things.
Yep.
You know,
it's all tactical. I can't stress that enough. It's all tactical. They want you to be confused. They want you to be constantly chasing a ball that's always changing colors and always changing lanes. And it's all in an effort. And I'm sure that even we're susceptible to it in a way that we're unaware of. It's just like we're constantly chasing new stories, new things, new information, new facts, new outlets. It's just overwhelming. And it is purposefully overwhelming.
You know what I was watching this weekend?
What?
I was watching all these videos of people who quit their jobs and went and started like farms, like chicken farms,
homesteaders, and
like
stuff.
Homesteaders.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It is incredible.
Is it cool? And I was thinking, I only brought that up because it's like they're escaping from like the nonsense.
Yeah.
Like I watched this one of this whole family who moved to Idaho and started this little farm. And
I feel
this,
like I know exactly what YouTube channel you're talking about, but I don't remember.
Well, there's
his
a
name.
Ton of them. There's like way more than I thought. There's like literally hours and days of homesteading content. Yeah. I didn't know that this was like my new obsession.
No, it's a huge thing.
But like, I'm just sitting there all day in my chair, just watching these people plant tomatoes.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like now I know so much about chicken feed.
Right.
It's insane.
No, homesteading is really enticing, especially now. And I think it is it's a growing, I won't call it an occupation, but it's a growing, I guess it is technically an occupation if you're, you know, funding and feeding yourself. But yeah, it's a growing lifestyle now in America. Shout out to Justin Rhodes. He runs a homesteading YouTube channel. He's got like the coolest little homestead with his family.
I know. I want to get some of these people on the show.
Yeah, we really should. We should start talking about homesteading.
I don't know. There's a call to, you know, reject modernity and return to traditionalism and like return to a more agriculture based lifestyle. I think that people are very fed up with, you know, the urban jungles and media landscape and nonstop political government theater, that entertainment culture theater that we are in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like people just want to return to what it's like to have a family and grow your own food and stuff like that.
Right.
It's like, I get it.
To only be worried about like what's outside your door and feeding your family. Like, it wouldn't that be nice?
I know. And it's beautiful, you know, and people are doing it like they're just quitting their jobs and starting I watch videos of people like they have a backyard and they start like a quarter acre farm in their backyard.
Right.
And they build a business out of it and then turn into like a huge farm. It's like
completely sustainable.
It's insane.
Yeah, my grandfather, when he was younger, well, when my grandmother and my grandfather got their first house and all that, they had like cows and a garden and all this stuff, and they would grow and obviously had a homestead of sorts. And he would just like grow a bunch of stuff, harvest it, and then sell it on the side of the road. And then he'd go on to his next day. And like, how nice would that be?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anyways.
I'm going to buy some chickens.
I'm going to buy LA chickens.
Yeah. They're going to be in my apartment.
You're going to like poison yourself. That's what you're going to do.
How am I going to poison myself?
I'm just thinking that chickens are not too sustainable in Los Angeles, in the concrete jungle that is Los Angeles.
No, of course not. But you start small. You get like
it's
going to
be
chickens.
Some questionable chickens.
I will start a little coop in my bedroom.
Okay. Got it. Now we're going to move on to a story about another city here in California. And that's San Francisco. If you've heard anything about San Francisco, you know what an S show that city is right now. Homelessness, grimy, disgusting, people robbing and looting and just tearing down businesses and just destroying the city, essentially. Drug overdoses rampant in the city, higher rates there than virtually anywhere else in America. And here's what the mayor of San Francisco is doing. Let's check out this video. Oh Oh my gosh, I'm so glad she's having a good time. Maskless clubbing.
None of the people super telling cool. you to worry about coronavirus are actually worried about coronavirus.
No.
I hate these people.
It's so infuriating to look at.
It is infuriating.
Just knowing what the city of San Francisco looks like right now and watching this woman dance in a club with her rules for thee but not for me masklessness is infuriating.
Of course it is. I mean, it's literally all I can think of is the French Revolution when the peasants are walking by the royal palace in France and they're just hearing and seeing the elites in these palaces just partying their brains out.
Yep.
You know, drinking and eating great food and doing all this stuff and not having to pay taxes while the peasants all have to pay taxes. And they're watching these people do it. Like, this is exactly what it feels like. This is why, because of stuff like this, is why we have a divided country.
It is.
Is why what I was talking about with Richard before, which is why in the next 20 years, you are going to see new leaders, people who rise up in this country who are far scarier than the people we have ever seen. Again, you think Trump was this radical conservative right winger guy? Just you wait. Just you wait another 20 years or less, more or less 20 years for the next right wing leader to come.
Yeah.
He will be far more radical and far more scary and tyrannical than Trump ever could have dreamed of. Because of people like this, because you have a society that says decadence is great, mm-hmm. and that if I am an elitist, the rules that I make for you do not apply to me. And so the populist movement of a new right-wing leader,
yep.
will come up to combat this, and he will be a scary guy, I will say that.
Extremes are going to be met with extremes. We should all be trying to find our common ground on what we believe and what we think is best for this country and then work from there. And that's not what we're doing right now. We're functioning on two just vastly different extremes and they're combating each other. And when we say the pendulum swings back, it absolutely does. And it's not going to swing back in a way that's pretty, like Will is saying.
No,
it's really not going to be.
It is going to be. I think it will be scary. You know,
yeah,
I'm not trying to sound pessimistic about what's going to happen. I don't know if this is exactly what's going to happen. Things might get better. But from a trajectory standpoint, from a historical standpoint of looking at what societies have done when the elites in the country do not represent the people who they are supposed to represent, doesn't matter if it's a republic, doesn't matter if it's a dictatorship, whatever. There comes to a tipping point.
Yep.
There comes a tipping point and you cannot put the cat back in the bag. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to break it. I don't know. But
we'll be here to tell you guys all about it, hopefully, on the daily.
Unless I'm that right-wing leader.
Will is the next right-wing dictator.
Yes,
that's what he is.
Listen.
Yeah.
No more cats. No more cats. Mayonnaise.
Wow.
I hate mayonnaise. And no more sushi. No more sushi either.
All horrible things you just said.
And the schools are abolished.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to support you. You don't have my vote. Not that it matters, because if you're a dictator, I guess you don't need it. But
yeah, I don't know.
All horrible. Guys, one more story before we get to Dear Will and Amala. Jack Dorsey has stepped down as the CEO of Twitter. And we have another guy by the name of Parag Agrawal taking his seat. I hope I said your name correctly. If not, I mean, nobody says mine correctly.
Either. Yeah, that's true. Let's ask Parag Agrawal to say your name.
And I'm sure he'll mispronounce it too.
Exactly.
So Jack Dorsey has stepped down amid not really concerns about Twitter or anything like that, but more so of the principle, so he says, that founders should step down from their creations and leave them on to greater horizons if they see that to be the case. And he sees that to be the case with Twitter, that him stepping down and allowing somebody else to take to be the captain of the ship is going to be better for the company.
The real excuse is that he just needs more time to get different nose rings.
Right.
Now he'll have plenty of time to go get piercings wherever
and
he
trim
wants.
The beard and do all that fun stuff, you know, and meditate.
It's a very, you know, he has to get to that level of like rich hobo look takes a lot of time for him to get there.
But don't worry, guys. He'll still be the CEO of Square. So he's still going to be working on Square, virtually having access to all the payments that you make and your transactions, which is great. I mm-hmm. love knowing that Jack Dorsey has all my information when it comes to using Square. But we're going to have to see a new guy take the lead as the CEO. Like we said, this guy Parag here. But what we didn't do was we didn't go and scrub our Twitter feeds before we took the position as CEO of Twitter. And his Twitter feed is quite telling. So the former CTO, the chief technology officer, and new Twitter CEO, Agrawal, in November of 2020, in an interview, he says, "Our role is not to be bound by the First Amendment, focusing less on thinking about free speech, but thinking about how the times have changed."
Times have changed.
We've outgrown the First Amendment, I think, Will.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be allowed to say that we've outgrown it.
Well, I respect that you think I shouldn't be allowed to say that. So is Twitter going to look different now that we have a new CEO, or is he just going to carry the torch of Jack Dorsey?
I think it'll probably get worse.
Yeah.
I think so. But it's not like Jack Dorsey was a fan of freedom of speech either.
He wasn't doing anything great.
You know, I mean, he literally supported banning the president of the United States off of Twitter. He was a CEO. I know, I hear people complaining about this new guy saying it's going to get worse. They literally banned the president.
Yeah.
While he was the CEO of Twitter. I mean, does it get much worse than that? I don't know. So.
But we'll keep an eye on it. I'm semi-active on Twitter. You're very active on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm pretty active on Twitter.
Yeah, so Will will be tuned in to if Twitter becomes a worse platform. And he will give us his updates.
I'm already getting shadow banned heavily because of all the stuff I say about COVID.
Yeah.
So,
you know, don't really filter yourself.
Well, every single one of my tweets gets a warning label on it now.
Yeah.
Every single one. I can't put out a tweet without getting like one of the warning labels on it. It's so annoying. And now I get throttled. My posts just get throttled on Twitter. So, but I still tweet regardless. I like reading them.
Yeah.
Even if no one else can see them. I like to, they're like reference points for me.
Exactly.
You know, I can always go back and look.
So yeah, our new CEO doesn't value free speech. It's no different from the old CEO and his entire team or administration, whatever you want to call them. No different at all. So I imagine it's going to be much of the same unless he starts to become more radical in his censorship, which we will report on if it comes up the bend.
We'll see. Just waiting up the bend.
Now, something we should censor is Will giving advice to people, but we're not going to censor him.
I have the right.
I always start off Dear Will and Alma by bullying Will and saying that he gives bad advice. So
I've never given bad advice.
Every Monday, guys, for those of you who don't typically watch the show, we do Dear Will and Amala, where you guys submit advice questions through our Instagrams at The Will Witt and at The Amala Epinobi. And we shout you guys out, put your advice questions up, and we try to answer them to the best of our abilities. Now, we're starting with one that I know for a fact Will cannot answer with solid advice.
That's not
because
true.
I've been with Will in this situation. Here is the question. This is from Elizabeth. How to be a less angry driver? And there's no way Will's going to be able to answer this question because he has one of the worst cases of road rage I think I've ever seen in my life.
People are so bad at driving.
See, he's not even going to try to defend himself.
No, I do have road rage, but that's because people are so stupid on the road. I mean, when someone has their right turn signal on and then they get into the left lane, mm-hmm. I mean, how do you not just scream?
In this cartoon.
It is
straight up Will Witt.
It literally is me.
It's convertible.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you need to be a less angry driver. I think
yes, you do.
I think that you should maybe be a more angry driver.
Oh my gosh.
Show
this
these
is
people.
Why.
Like I was driving the other day and I brake checked this guy pretty badly. Who was riding my butt. I mean he was riding me so close, you know? And I slam on the brakes. Because I'm angry.
Really bad advice. Okay, guys, here's advice.
Seriously, that's not good advice.
We don't have Taylor to mediate this either. Yeah, do not become more angry on the road,
don't
Elizabeth.
Okay, you should be better.
Yes.
But I can't help it. People are so bad.
Yeah, Will literally cannot help it.
No.
And he's just angry all the time when he's driving.
I am.
Anyways, guys, this is how you become a less angry driver. You think about it. You pontificate, right? You're in the car, okay? People are driving bad around you or you're stuck in traffic or whatever. How does it service you to be angry? Can you answer that, Will? How does it service you to be angry in your car?
I think it's fine for you to let your emotions out. You can't be some blob.
But there's no reason to be angry and be screaming in your car for no reason.
There is a reason.
It's honestly, it's just, it's raising the cortisol levels. It's making you more stressed out. There's no reason to do it. You're in the situation regardless of how much you yell about it. So why be angry?
I don't know. Because I'm angry.
Yeah. See, this is because you're angry. So here's my advice. And this is my grandmother's advice. You can't control a lot of things that happen to you in life. People driving around you, you can't really control. People being slow in front of you, you can't really control. What you can control is your response to it. So think about, am I wasting my energy right now by being angry and screaming and flipping this person off or honking my horn or threatening to shoot somebody? Probably. Probably
don't
wasting.
Don't threaten to shoot somebody.
Don't threaten
that's
to
not,
shoot somebody. But
that's beyond anger.
That's what a lot of road rage people do. You know? What's his name? Russell Crowe? In that movie?
Oh, that was the worst movie I've ever seen.
I didn't watch it
life.
Because it just looks so stupid.
I watched it with my mom. Mom, what is the title of that movie? It was, what's that?
Unhinged.
Unhinged. Yeah. I watched that last Christmas. I mean, that was genuinely awful. But yeah, people get really upset when you drive.
They get really unhinged.
I know. This is why, listen, if only men were allowed to drive, I would be much less angry.
I don't know that that's true. I've seen some really bad male drivers.
But they're more risky. You know, women are just, I've seen you drive. And it's just like,
I'm just an unassertive driver.
Should I get in the left lane? Maybe.
That is
you're
not
like
an unassertive driver.
Halfway through for like 20 minutes
that
getting into
so
a different lane.
That is so not true. That is so not true. We're going to do a ride along vlog, except with no police. You're just riding with me and Will to see how we drive.
I drive like a pro. I do take pride in my driving. I'm fairly good at driving.
Do you take pride in your road rage?
No. Okay. But it's unhelpful. Yeah, it's unsatiable.
Good. So that's my advice to you. Why be angry? Why waste the energy? And are you going to take pride in the fact that you just did that? Probably not. So Elizabeth, you know, use the old doodle and make it a positive experience. Dear Will and Amala, how to be content in singleness? Josie Kelly, 16.
It's two people?
No. Josie Kelly.
Oh, okay. Oh, they have two first names.
Yep.
Okay.
How to be content in singleness.
You have to like yourself. That's step number one.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel like you like yourself, then it's going to be very hard for you to, you know, really like being with someone else.
How do you start to like yourself if you don't?
I think that comes from knowledge, from pursuing truth, from being someone who's well read on things. I think that if you are single and you are wasting your time, whether that's through partying, drugs, Netflix all day, not learning anything, being content with mediocrity. I think if you do all those things, then you won't be able to be content when you're single.
Mm.
You know, because you don't have anything that you're striving for. If you don't have any confidence in yourself, that's real confidence, not just like, oh, I'm hot or whatever. Like you need to have real confidence in something. You will be able to be a more well-rounded person and be able to be single in that way. But if you don't strive for betterness in your life or a better life, then you're not going to be very happy as a single person.
Right. And Josie, I'm assuming you're a girl. Correct me if I'm wrong, although I won't see your correction, but I'm assuming you're a girl. Guys want women who are content with themselves. So whether that means like finding hobbies, finding something that you enjoy learning about, taking classes, doing things to make yourself a better, more well-rounded person, that's where I would start. And find things and friends, 100%. Friends are really good to be able to lean on and do things with when you're single and you want companionship. That's great. Find things that make you content in yourself, because I think what people want, and especially if you find a well-rounded man, he wants to find somebody who's content with themselves. He will be content with themselves, and hopefully both of you like boost each other. What you want is to find somebody who makes your life better than it already is. So really, how to be content with singleness is developing who you are as a single person. Like, well, who are you as an individual? And then you can start thinking about what you need in another individual that you don't have that will make you better in a couple. Yeah. That's my advice. So yeah, figure out who you are and what you like and what you love and what you're passionate about. And when you find that, you'll have to, you know, use an oar to bat the men off you.
An oar?
An oar. I almost said baseball bat, but then I'm like, a baseball bat to bat them off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to think it through a little bit more than that. So yeah. An oar.
A little bit oar than that.
Yeah, I just pulled, I had to think a little bit oar about it.
Uh-huh.
deep from the bank with that one.
Is that another
my
pun?
Grandfather would be proud.
No. That's good. Like the riverbank.
Yeah, like the riverbank. Deep from the bank. Mm-hmm. It's great. We're great. Dear Will and Amala, tips for getting along with coworkers in a new job from Super Luigi.
Is this a man or a woman?
I'm going to guess it's a woman named Laura, but I have no idea.
Okay. Just be nice.
Just be nice?
No, actually, don't do that. Because I find that when coworkers who are new are too nice to me, I start to resent them a little.
Really? What?
If they're too nice.
What?
If they're too nice, it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So what? Like you get a new neighbor and they're like, hi, new neighbor. I made you a cake. You're like, who's this person?
No, it's different with coworkers than it is okay. with like a neighbor. If a neighbor did that, it'd be really nice. But you know, sometimes they're like, people are too overbearingly nice.
Okay.
You know, at first when you first meet them. And okay. I want them to be friendly, but I don't want them to be like too overbearing. I think you might, if you're too like overbearingly nice and trying to talk to people way too much and things, I think you will end up putting off the people who you are trying to meet.
Yeah, I have to think about this. Tips for getting along with your coworkers. Doing your job well is number one. You will get along with your coworkers so long as you do your job well. The worst thing you can do is like not do your job well, and then people are going to resent you and not want to get, they won't want to get along with you on a personal level anyways. Secondly, like get integrated in the work that they're doing and understand what they do if you want to like make friends with your coworkers, if that's the case. And, you know, find out who they are as a person. What are their likes outside of work? Talk to them about that. Ask them how their weekend was on Monday. You know, make your rounds, talk to people, just be like a nice person. But if they don't get along with you and you don't get along with your coworkers, it's not the end of the world.
It is not.
It's not the end of the world. Yeah. Like you can still go to work and do your job and then go home and have your friends and your significant other or whoever that will bring you contentment and companionship outside of your work. Your coworkers do not have to be friends.
Yeah. I think that people think that you have to be friends with them. It's like you're working with these people. Like you think Scott and I are actually friends? Like I hate that guy.
You think I actually think Scott's hot?
Yeah, that's just a bit, right? No, but we are actually friends. But you know, you don't have to be friends with everyone at the office, you know? But you work with them and you're cordial with them and you say, hey, can you help me with this? Whatever. But you know, you don't have to be like, oh, I want to hang out with you.
Friends with your coworkers is lucky. Like consider yourself lucky. That's not something that everybody gets to be. Oftentimes people just go into work and they're amicable. They say hi and great. How was your weekend? And then they go and do their job. So to have more than that is just like a boost. That's great. That's a bonus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Last question. This is from Emma. Dear Will and Amala, I'm a singer and majoring in music performance, but I also want to be very active in the conservative movement and want to do as much as I can to make sure this country doesn't go on the wrong path. How can I focus on my career as a singer and also be active in the conservative movement?
Do exactly what you're doing now as a singer, but then also talk and post about the conservative movement things that you believe in.
Yep. It's very easy to find balance in these two things. And although you might take a hit because any sort of artistic field is going to be extremely left-leaning for the most part, you will find people who support you and who are in your field who are not that and who want to support you in your conservative efforts as well. A big thing is like a lot of, if you want to integrate the two things, your two passions, a lot of events do like the Star Spangled Banner, or they need musicians for different rallies that they do, start signing up for that. And that's like you doing your singing thing while also supporting the conservative movement and providing entertainment for people, which is a cool thing. There's always ways to get creative with the things that you love and mix them with the things that you're passionate about. And being a singer in the conservative movement is a great thing to be.
That's very good advice.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's the end.
Asking people like I can go sing at your conservative event.
Right.
Like that's very good.
Yeah. So then you can make your name as a singer while also networking in the conservative movement. And trust me, conservatives always need somebody to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, we do.
So girl, you can hook it up. Anyways, guys, that is Dear Will and Amala. Thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back tomorrow at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. We enjoy talking to you every day, going through the stories. If you guys want to listen to us rather than watch us, you can go to Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. Support us on there. Even if you do like watching on YouTube, go and support us on those apps. Give us a follow. Give us a 5-star review so that we know you love the show. Everybody else knows that you love the show. Go ahead and follow Will on Substack so you can hear his thoughts, but in written form.
Mm-hmm. It's much more eloquent than usual. So the willwit.substack.com, the link for that is also in the description that you guys can go follow. And I just put out my first post, so go check it out on there. And the blog will come directly to your email inbox when you sign up, which is very cool.
Beautiful. So. Thank you guys so much for watching.
Oh, wait. Last day. My book is $3. How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. You can get the ebook on Kindle right now. Today's the last day for Cyber Monday. It is $3. So go on Amazon, get the Kindle version, or buy it on a Kindle. I don't know how. I don't actually have a Kindle. I just have a phone app with Kindle on it. So I don't know how that works on the actual device. But go buy it. It's $3. How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies by Will Witt. My book is $3 today, till midnight today, Eastern. So get it.
Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.